Woo, here's a hot take on this week's episode.
And you know, Susan said something else on your podcast. She said that great sex gives you, amongst other things, creativity. I'd like to offer that creativity gives you great sex.
Ooh.
Because Eros is born in the imagination first. It's born in the mind. It's not in the body. And I think we get so stuck in this idea that if we don't look a certain way, if we don't meet a certain standard of beauty or attractiveness, that we aren't allowed to feel sexy. We're not allowed to feel beautiful even. But if you focus on your mind and your creativity, if you remain curious, if you're constantly feeding your mind, your spirit, your soul, you don't have to try to be sexy, and you certainly don't have to meet any standard of beauty to be sexy, because you're bringing something to the table.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. I am your host, Rebecca Whitman, helping you go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And today we have a wonderful guest in the studio. Welcome to the show, Angela Miller Kumar.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Rebecca. Thank you so much for having me today.
I'm so glad you're here. And I'm going to talk a little bit about your background, because you have a very interesting background as a 57-year-old model, influencer, and advocate for ageless beauty. You have a signature sense of humor, Southern charm, and Angela empowers women to embrace individuality and shine at every stage of life.
So I hope not just women. I hope anyone over 50.
Anyone. Women, yes. And I like to say
men too. Men too.
Everybody can, yes, shine. And exactly. We have lots of men who love the podcast too. Whether she's walking the runway or sharing her insights about life online, Angela reminds us that authenticity is the most magnetic form of beauty. So Angela, when did you realize that your uniqueness was your superpower?
Well, before we jump into that, if I may, I would first like to thank any of my followers, friends, and family who are tuning in today. So this is actually my first live podcast and my first Instagram live.
Yay!
I want to say thank you to anyone who's here supporting. And I'd also like to take a moment to disabuse anyone of the idea that I'm an expert on anything, because I am not. I have seen your illustrious guests that you have had on before and that you have had many experts. I like to think of myself more as a foot soldier in the path to abundance. So I'm sort of out there leading the way, if you will, and stepping on all the landmines and making those mistakes in the hopes of, if anyone else is joining on this path to abundance, that I can help them maybe avoid some of those that I've stepped over the years. So
beautiful. You are just so humble. And yes, thank you to all of Angela Miller's many, many followers. I know you have thousands that are tuning in and listening and that are cheering her on as she does her first live video. And is it your first podcast too?
It's my first live podcast.
Live podcast. So
yes.
And it's live. So there's an element of nerves and excitement and butterflies.
And that's what makes it fun.
Yes. That's exactly what makes it exciting and fun. I like to say the difference between fear and excitement is just thinking positively about the outcome. So I
absolutely
call it nerve-sided. Little nervous,
like that.
Little excited.
Yes.
So
yeah.
That's perfect. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into the first question. So
yeah,
when did you realize that uniqueness was your superpower?
Well, I guess I've always known it on some level, whether I understood it consciously or not. My dad always said that I watched the beat of my own drum, even from the time I was a little girl. And in fact, he used to tell my mother, for goodness sake, Rose, don't tell her no, because that's only going to make her do it tenfold. So I guess that's one of the things that's gotten me here today at this point in my life is just being really comfortable with the word no. And I don't know if that's unique, but it certainly helped me. I think listening to my own conscience and desires and the things that really motivate me and tuning into that, if you want to call that unique, then okay. I think there's a lot of noise out there. And I think learning to tune into our own desires, our own thoughts, our own motivations even is difficult with all of that. But maybe that's what's always been my superpower, is the ability to be at ease with myself and really be self-aware and self-reflective.
Well, you say that you hear no, you've learned how to desensitize yourself to the word no. Where do you hear the word no? What are you asking people for or to do that they would say no?
Well, I mean, certainly at my age, starting again into modeling and influencing, I mean, social media, technology, all of it is so new to me, really. In fact, I only joined social media for the first time at the end of 2020.
Oh my God.
I was on Instagram. I was not on Facebook before that. I was on no form of social media. And my family used to joke that I was the only one who still thought cell phones were a fad. but I've leaned into it because I've always felt that the key to really being creative and having that vitality for life. And by the way, that's what I'm doing. That's sort of my catchphrase, is curating ageless vitality, not chasing youth. And there is a difference.
We'll talk about probably the next question.
I would be thrilled to come back.
I'm writing that down.
But I've always felt of life and experiences as a learning process. And I've never had a fear of learning. I guess I've always maintained my childlike curiosity when it comes to learning new things, from languages to art to physical things, training to social media and technology. And I've never thought of making mistakes as failure or as a negative thing. I've always thought of it as just a learning experience. So every mistake that I make is just an opportunity to learn and to grow. And that's sort of what's informed me and propelled me. And I think given me the, I wouldn't say confidence, but I would say the boldness to go ahead and try something new, to do something new, to get out of my comfort zone, because I've just never really had that fear of failure. And I think that's really freeing. And that's what I would like to share with everyone who's embarking on a new path or a new journey, is to shift that perspective. And instead of seeing mistakes or failures, and I put that in quotation marks, as something negative, just to see it as an opportunity for growth and for learning, like a baby who's learning to walk or learning to talk, right? They make mistakes and then the parents correct them. And then they repeat the corrected way and they move on to their next mistake, if you will. But that's how they learn. And I think if we can maintain that throughout our lives, we really have an opportunity to expand our experiences and expand our learning, our joy, our vitality in ways that are really infinite.
That is so beautiful. And when we were babies, if we fell, we weren't like, that's it. Walking isn't for me. I quit. Right. I'm never going to walk. I'm just going to crawl my whole life. We right. just kept going with...
Embarrassment and insecurities are learned.
Yeah.
They're not a part of us. It's a learned behavior, but I think we can unlearn it.
And we can.
I mean, look at me. I'm here today doing my first podcast.
I know. And we can fall forward, you know, like.
Absolutely.
As long as you're learning, if you fall, whether it's in your business or your love or your health journey, it's falling forward and reframing failure into just a learning process, I think, is really freeing. And it's obviously one of the keys to your boldness and self-confidence. So you just mentioned, instead of chasing youth, you're curating ageless vitality. What does that mean? What does curating ageless vitality mean to you?
Well, at my age, I can assure you, having had all of the experiences that I've had throughout life, I would never want to be 20-something again. I love where I am right now. I love where all of the experience and the wisdom that I've accumulated based on those experiences has gotten me. I've never felt more comfortable in my own skin. I've never felt more sure about what motivates me, what fulfills me, what makes me thrive. And I think that is such a blessing and such a gift. And when it comes to curating ageless vitality, my background is in art. I have two art history degrees and one in actual international art crime studies and cultural heritage protection.
You must love the Da Vinci Code movies.
Yes, or Rene Russo in the Thomas Crown Affair would be
international art and crime. Oh my God.
Exactly.
And you heard what happened to the Louvre a couple weeks ago.
I did. That was quite a bold move. And we could do a whole podcast on that topic at another time if you'd like. I've always been a collector. I've been a collector of vintage clothes, of antiques, of art, and if I'm being honest, of people, and not in a nefarious way, but I am endlessly curious about the things that make people tick, particularly people whose ticks are different than mine. I want to know what motivates people. I don't want a reflection of myself and another person. I don't want to curate my world with people who have like minds or opinions or experiences. I want the opportunity to learn and expand my views and my consciousness based on having relationships and connections to people who are quite different than me. That just really makes me feel so alive and so happy and so fulfilled. So I'm always out there. I mean, my kids, it drives them crazy because wherever I go, I'll get into a deep conversation with the cashier or the flight attendant or, you know, whoever it is, because I want to know. When I'm looking at you, I want to know about you. I want to know what makes you tick. I want to know what thrills you, what motivates you, what scares you. Because to me, that's what being human is all about. It's about connecting on all of those different levels.
So your kids are like, Mom, come on, I'm late for my soccer game. We can't be talking to the cashier at the grocery store all day. That's what happened.
Exactly. And I think they say that now because they're kids, right? And they have their own agendas and lives and motivations. But what I'm hoping is that I'm leaving a legacy of kindness and connection and authenticity that perhaps when they're my age, they'll look back and they'll go, oh, now I get it. Now I get it. I know what Mom was doing and what she was all about.
I feel like everybody has a treasure and that God speaks through other people. So I'm exactly the same way. And how old are your kids?
My son is 25 and my daughter's 20.
Great.
So they're grown now. And that's, you know, that's another part of what brought me here is that, you know, we all go through different stages of life. And, you know, when I became an empty nester, I really had to take a pause and look at where my life was headed. And that's typically what I do. I like to remain in the present, but I've always got, you know, one eye ahead to the future. I don't often look to the past. And when I became an empty nester, I had to say, okay, well, you know, when I decided to be a mom, I gave it absolutely 100% of me. I put my dreams and things on hold because I believe that if I was going to bring a child into this world, it was my responsibility to give it everything I had. That was my choice. I have no regrets about it whatsoever. I have raised two amazing children. I'm so proud of. And I hope they'll feel proud of me one day, maybe after they see this podcast. But I had to reevaluate what my purpose was. And that took some time and it was a little bit scary. You know, I have seen what aging looks like from two perspectives. So I have the unfortunate but also eye-opening experience of being the oldest living person in my family. Mm. I have been since I was 54 when my dad's sister passed away. So I have experienced a lot of loss in my life and I have seen members of my family die young with dreams unfulfilled. And I've had the opposite where I have seen, you know, people age and have longevity, but without vitality, without health, without curiosity, without the things that make life worth living. And that's not a great alternative either. So when I think about the term pro age, what it means to me is living as long as we are able to, because a lot of that is not within our control, right? Genetics play a role. We can do all the things right and we, you know, still may not have the blessing of longevity. But if we do, to live it as fully and vitally as possible and not have our world close in on us. I think that once all of our responsibilities sort of have been fulfilled, like raising kids and careers and things like that, we have the opportunity to expand our world instead of making it smaller and smaller. And so I guess that's what I'm doing, although it really wasn't my intention from the beginning to do it, but I'm learning from others that what I'm doing is giving them maybe a map or a possible pathway to expanding their worlds, to living fully and to living vitally. And if that's the case, then, you know, what a great purpose to have.
That is so beautiful. We are going to take a quick commercial break. And I know my listeners want to know all the things, the wellness, the beauty tips, all the things that you're doing to look so young and beautiful at your age and vital. So we're going to come right back after a quick commercial break. Thank you for listening, everyone.
I am so excited. I created something special just for you. It's called the Balanced Beautiful Bundle. And inside this bundle, you're going to get instant access to a PDF copy of my best-selling book, How to Make a Six-Figure Income Working Part-Time. You're going to get my best health and beauty tips to help you glow from the inside out. You'll get my Elegant Warrior Manifesto, a daily reminder of your power, grace, and purpose. You'll get my Abundance Journal to help you manifest more joy, love, and prosperity. And you'll get a daily journal reminder to keep your mindset strong and your energy and your vibe high every single day. This bundle is your shortcut to balance, beauty, and abundance in an elegant way. So grab your copy now by going to the show notes and start living your most balanced, beautiful, abundant life today. Hey there, it's Rebecca, your magnetic abundance mentor. Let me ask you something. Are you feeling stuck, burned out, or like life just isn't as juicy as you know it can be? If you're nodding right along, it's time for a breakthrough. My coaching program is designed to help you align your life in all seven pillars of abundance: spiritual, physical, emotional, romantic, mental, social, and financial. So you can finally live that big, bold, sexy, and adventurous life you deserve. And here's the best part. I'm inviting you to schedule a breakthrough call with me. No pressure, no sales gimmicks, just a genuine chance to experience my coaching firsthand and get crystal clear on what is next for you. Because your best life is not a someday thing, it's a right now thing. So click the link in the show notes to book your breakthrough call and let's start making magic together. Your next level is calling you. This podcast review is from Bring It On, and she says that the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant show is amazing and inspiring. She goes on to say, I believe this show is a place where women can come and really learn and grow. Rebecca creates a strong and safe space for women to share and be vulnerable. I highly recommend this podcast. Thank you so much. And it is absolutely a safe place for all women to come and learn. Thanks for being a great listener.
Welcome back to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. We're here with beauty influencer, pro-ager, Angela Miller Kumar. So give us some of your favorite wellness and beauty hacks. What are you doing right now? Products, morning routines, workouts. We want the scoop, Angela.
Okay. I have a problem with the word hacks because I think that the things that have served me best are more habit. It's lifestyle. It's not, you know, tips and tricks or, you know, some magic potion, right? it's just taking care of yourself. It's eating well. It's exercising. I am a huge proponent of exercise, especially lifting weights. I think that's one of the most important things that you can do. And I don't mean lightly lifting weights. I mean, pushing your body, you know, to its limits, lifting heavy. It's not only good for our bodies, but it's good for our mind. I mean, there was a study that looked at the best preventative measures for dementia and Alzheimer's, and muscle building and weightlifting was at the top of the list. So that's really important. And being strong is important.
How many times a week do you lift heavy weights?
You know, it varies. My travel schedule has been so hectic the last 3 months that I'm lucky sometimes if I get in 2 or 3 times a week. And consistency to me isn't meeting every workout that's scheduled at every time that it's scheduled. It's being consistent over a lifetime. I mean, I've basically been working out since my late teens and early 20s. I've taken time off. I've come back to it. The point is that you always come back to it and you make it a part of your life and you don't beat yourself up when you can't meet a workout or you can't do something. It's consistently returning to it and just making it a part of your life. Eating well, especially. I actually have a autoimmune hypothyroid disease called Hashimoto's. Mm-hmm. And it can be very debilitating, but it's also very manageable with lifestyle and other things. I've been gluten-free for 10 years. It's made a huge difference in my health. But that's unique to my story. Everyone has to find out what's good for them. But
what is good. Other than being gluten-free, what are your other diet or lifestyle? Like what type of foods?
Well, I generally eat whole foods. I don't eat fast food or packaged foods much, but that's the way I grew up. I grew up in a family in which, you know, my parents cooked dinner most nights of the week and we sat down around the table and, ate whole food and had whole conversations. Of course, that was before the age of cell phones and social media, but I also maintained that with my kids growing up. I cooked probably 5 nights a week. We sat around a table. We had a no cell phone at the table rule and we engaged in conversation at least for that little period of time. And, you know, my kids have kind of grown up the same way. They love their favorite holiday is Thanksgiving because they love all the home cooked food and, you know, all of that. And they both love to cook now and they're conscious about what they eat, but not in an obsessive way. It's just a good way to live, a natural, wholesome, healthy, good way to live. So I'm glad that I've been able to pass that along as well. Again, the weightlifting, I was a runner for a long time. I've run 2 half marathons, both since the age of 50. Great. I hate running though.
I did too.
I was a runner who hated running.
Yeah.
I was a runner who hated running, but I loved the mental benefits of it. Recently, you know, I still have hopes and dreams of running a marathon one day, but I've put running on pause because of my schedule not being able to keep up with the training in the way I wish. And just, you know, being conscious of what my body is telling me when it comes to injuries and things like that. But I don't beat myself up about it that I've taken a pause from running. Maybe I'll come back to it. Maybe I'll run my first marathon in my 60s. That would be a great goal to have. So I think having a healthy attitude about it is also important. You know, if you eat something that's not great for you, okay, again, back to learning. You made a mistake, you learn, you move on. Exercise, you missed a workout. Okay, you missed a workout. Life is like that. But you don't beat yourself up about it. You just get up the next day and, you know, you move on. When I got back from Italy, as a matter of fact, I got in very late and my husband said, well, you want to go out to dinner? So after a 22-hour journey, I was like, yeah, he's missed me. He wants to go out to dinner. That's a blessing. Instead of like, oh my God, I'm so tired. I need to go home and go to bed. No, let's do it. Let's go out to dinner. I'll sleep later. And I did. And then I got up and went to Pilates at 8:30 the next morning.
Impressive.
So it's just a matter of incorporating it into your lifestyle and making it a part of what you do. You know, it's not a battle. It's not a war. It's there for you, you know, whatever happens on the outside, you know, optically is whipped cream. You know, it's not really what matters. What matters is, okay, a little anecdote. So I've been doing Pilates for about 10 years, been lifting weights, been running, working on all the things, balance, you know, et cetera, strength. I was in Cortona I was invited to a wine, dine, and shine dinner with a jewelry company that has been there for hundreds of years. And they bedecked me in jewels and we were going to dinner. Well, I really wasn't informed about what the whole evening was going to look like in terms of footwear. And so I thought I was going to arrive at this restaurant and then, you know, get bejeweled and have dinner. And that was going to be
it. This is in Italy.
This is in Italy, in Cortona, under the Tuscan sun town. And no, so I wore 4-inch heels with my dress. And I got there and the wine tasting lasted 3 hours because things always last longer in Italy. And so I was on the cobblestone streets of Cortona in 4-inch heels, walking uphill to go to the jewelry store, walking down two sets of very steep old Roman stairs to get down to the jewelry showroom, and then walking back up them and uphill probably a quarter of a mile to get to the restaurant. And you know what? I was so grateful that I had worked out all of this time as much as I had, because I could handle it. I was walking down those stairs with a glass of wine in one hand and my clutch in the other hand. And you know, I felt strong. I felt capable. I knew I could do it. I wasn't worried about falling. And that is just, it's just so freeing to have that kind of physical health and strength, and to be able to have those experiences and not be fearful about things like falling. You know, I mean, it's so rewarding and empowering. And that's the message that I want to get across. It's not about how great I look at 58, you know, I mean, it's about what I can do
at my age
and what I hope to be able to continue to do long into, you know, my other decades.
It's about high functioning. Now, what is your morning routine? Is it tea? Is it coffee? Is it a smoothie? What supplements are you taking?
Oh, I'm a black coffee girl. I'm a black coffee girl for sure. And I'm not a morning person, really. I mean, I wake up with the light.
Pilates, to me, you're a morning person. That's pretty cool.
I do wake up with the light. I've never set an alarm clock. But I move slow in the morning because that's my sort of meditative time. I like to sit in the quiet. I'm usually the first one up. I sit in this room where the sun rises in the east and I can see it coming up over the trees. And that's sort of my meditative time. So I have my black coffee with a couple of scoops of collagen powder. Mm-hmm. And I sit and drink that and contemplate life and love and the world. And then when I've done that for a little bit, I'll do a Sudoku puzzle or Wordle or something like that, you know, to get my brain going.
Yeah.
And then after maybe an hour and a half, then I'll start moving.
And what is your skincare routine? Like, what products are you loving?
I've been working with a company called Soleil Toscana out of Tuscany that, you know, I mean, every product, it just reminds me of the Italian countryside. It smells like Italian sunshine. And it's all organic and wonderful, and it smells good. And that's one line in particular that I've been using. I take a lot of supplements. If you saw my pill case, you know, it would be shocking, but I do believe in them. I do believe that they work. It's very hard, especially nowadays with our food not being what it used to be, to get the kind of nutrients that we need strictly from our food. So I do rely on those quite a bit. And, you know, the biggest thing that I do, I would say, for my skin on a regular basis is sunscreen. Mm-hmm. I've been wearing, I'm a Florida girl, a redhead, green-eyed, freckled Florida girl. Mm-hmm. And I've been wearing sunscreen, God bless my mama, since I've, you know, been in my early 20s on a daily basis. And I really think that that has made all the difference in the world to my skin, and maybe some good genetics too.
Well, I've got to ask, what are some of your favorite supplements that you won't go without? Some of your go-tos? You don't have to say brands if you want, but...
No, yes. So when it comes to skin and immunity in particular, I'd say there's a few that I absolutely will not go without, and that's vitamin D3, mm-hmm. zinc, mm-hmm. methylfolate, mm-hmm. and for skin, L-lysine. Mm. And I take those every single day.
Wow, methylfolate. That's like B vitamins, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And you do.
And I'll also say this, you know, it's not a one size fits all thing when it comes to supplements. A lot of what I take is targeted towards my autoimmune disease. You know, not everybody has to worry about that. Other people have other things that they have to worry about. So I think it's really important to have a whole healthcare provider that you can work with on a personal basis that who can really curate for you what you need specifically. I think that's really important because I can say what I do, but it may not fit
right.
You know, someone else's needs.
We're not giving medical advice here. We're just
doing exactly.
Do you do protein powder or protein bars or anything like that?
I have one little protein bar. I don't even know what the name of it is that sometimes I'll have in the morning with my coffee. I can't have whey protein. You know, I can't have other things. That's why I like the collagen protein. Mm-hmm. And I do drink a lot of bone broth. That's mm-hmm. also important for my condition. You know, I was a vegetarian for 15 years and little did I know that based on, you know, what my body was dealing with, it was the worst thing I could possibly do because I was eating pastas and breads and lots of carbs and things with gluten and wheat. And I thought I was doing something that was healthy for me and I was really causing damage. So that's why I stress the importance of having a really good relationship with your healthcare provider where you can, you know, really hone in on what is unique to you and what your body needs, you know, and your specific needs to feel your best. It's definitely not a one size fits all thing.
And do you drink chicken flavor bone broth or
anything? All of it. Yeah, all of it.
Vanilla flavor. Like, do you have a brand that you like for bone broth? I like Paleo Valley, but have you tried that one?
No, I don't really pay particular attention to brands. Yeah. Whatever tastes good, but yeah, I try to drink that, you know, 5 times a week. Sometimes I'll just substitute that for dinner. You know, and I always just, I feel better when I drink it. So yeah, it's just become a part of my routine. I also love anything with like probiotics in it. There are probiotic drinks that are out there that I think are really beneficial because they're good for your gut health. And that's something that, you know, it's important to all of us, especially to people with Hashimoto's. So, you know, maximizing our gut health is something I'm always thinking about and being aware of. But, you know, again, I'm not obsessive about it. I don't like, you know, you ask me brands. I don't know. You know, I just incorporate things into my life and but that's not my focus. My focus is on everything that incorporating those things allows me to do. So I don't really dwell on it too much.
So when you do your influencer posting, is it mostly like fashion and makeup and beauty, or is it also health and wellness products or all of it?
It's a little bit of everything. I guess lifestyle would kind of cover it, but it's health, beauty, fitness, fashion, travel, music, art, you know. I think maybe that's why my growth has been relatively slow on Instagram, because social media favors specificity and I'm just not that person. I'm a very well-rounded person. I'm not going to hide that fact. I'm proud of it. So whether the algorithm likes it or not, you know, it's me. This is, you're getting me, and that, you know, and so maybe there's a little bit of something for everyone. And you know, you take what you like and leave what you don't.
Absolutely. I'm the same way. I am like being coached, get more niche down, but I'm like, but there's 7 pillars of abundance. And this is what it takes to live like this beautiful holistic life. And I don't want to pick one pillar. So I feel the same way as you do, Angela. I want to live like out loud and 360 degree life. We are going to cut to a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about something really important, advice that Angela has on women struggling with the comparison game. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Okay. Can I be real for a second? You're out there crushing it in some areas of your life, but in others, it's like a hot mess express. Sound familiar? Here's the thing. You're not just meant to survive, you're meant to thrive. And that's exactly what I help my clients do in my coaching program. Together, we'll tackle all 7 pillars of abundance, because who wants killer abs but a dumpster fire of a bank account? or a thriving career, but zero in the romance department? Yeah, no thanks. I'm inviting you to schedule a breakthrough call with me. No pressure, no awkward sales pitch, just you, me, and a chance to figure out why you're stuck and how to get unstuck. So stop doom scrolling and start doing something about it. Click the link in the show notes and let's start giving you your best, most bougie life. You in? Are you ready to reset, realign, and rise into your best year ever? Join me January 23rd through 26th at the beautiful Amara Resort and Spa in stunning high vibe Sedona, Arizona. We'll set powerful intentions, create customized affirmations, and design vision boards using my 7 Pillars of Abundance framework so that you can make 2026 your most aligned and abundant year ever. You'll enjoy deep connection, breathtaking views, and total relaxation at the newly renovated Amara Resort, complete with a luxurious spa, fitness center, and zero-edge infinity pool. Spots are limited, so head to the show notes or message me directly on Instagram at Rebecca E. Whitman to learn more and claim your spot today. Welcome back to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. So I know you are an influencer in the online world, and a lot of women really struggle with the comparison game because there's always someone fitter, prettier, younger, having more exotic vacations. What kind of advice can you give someone listening that is struggling with comparison?
You know, I understand it, and it is challenging. However, all of the things that you just mentioned really are optics. It's what people see. Mm-hmm. What can never be compared is the person that you are in terms of the way you think, your unique perspective based on your experience, where you were born in the world, perhaps, or whether you've been single your whole life or married your whole life. All of the things that you've experienced in your life make you unique. You have a unique perspective. Nothing can ever compare to that. You know, I had a friend a couple of years ago as I was going down this path of becoming an influencer and rediscovering myself and deciding what I wanted to do with the rest of my life, who called me up one day and she said, you know, did you do this or did you do that? And then, you know, her last comment to me was, well, I just can't keep up with you. And that struck me because I thought, well, we've been friends for over 20 years. I didn't know that that was the game that we were in. Why are you trying to keep up with me? Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that, you know, that was happening. And it stuck with me. And I thought about that for a long time. And I think when someone says that, there's obviously embedded comparison going on. I think that the best thing that you can do is really spend some time asking yourself. We spend so much time looking at everyone else and what everyone else is doing and how they're doing it. And I think we don't spend enough time, quiet time in our heads, especially, you know, with social media and all of the stimuli that are out there. I think we don't spend enough time really asking ourselves what we want. And I think that's one of the best gifts about, and we can get into it, menopause.
Yeah.
And being over 50, that's one of the best gifts because we suddenly, especially as women, have the time and the space to ask ourselves that question.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we don't think we have the permission, but I'm here to tell you, we do. We do. We have that permission. And not only is it something that we're allowed to do, it's something that we really should do if we want to live our best life after 50 for as long as we can.
I like to say, don't compare your insides to everybody's outsides. Kind of yes. Like you were saying, because on the outside, everybody looks like they're having the time of their life and they have the perfect, you know, body or clothes or makeup. But inside, they could be really struggling. And I would like to say that success is the amount of joy you feel. And if you have a joyful life, you're truly winning, because looking great on the outside and being miserable, I mean, what is the point of that? Even if you get tons of likes and comments on your posts, but if you're miserable and you're not enjoying yourself, there's really no point.
Exactly. Exactly. We all have struggles. I mean, that's just the nature of life. It's how we deal with them. And I think, again, that's one of the greatest gifts of this stage of my life, is having had the time, the experience, and the perspective to understand really what matters to me, what motivates me, and to curate my life and my experiences to foster those things to their full capacity and potential.
Well, let's unpack some of the benefits of menopause, life after 50. What are some of the other lifestyle changes and benefits that you are enjoying in this stage of life?
Well, you know, I mean, first I'd like to just comment a little bit on the popular narrative about menopause, and that it's a death sentence, that it's, you know, life is over, that we're no longer sexy, that we're no longer attractive, that we're no longer interested in sex or interested in things that motivate us. And, you know, people talk about the side effects of menopause, you know, hot flashes and night sweats and all of the discomfort that comes with it. But let's face it, I mean, having a period for, you know, 7 days a month for most of the decades of your life is no picnic, you know.
It's exhausting.
It is. It's exhausting, and constantly having to worry if you're on vacation and when you're going to get it and what you're wearing. And, you know, I mean, every stage of life comes with its benefits and its drawbacks. And menopause is no different. I mean, certainly none of those things are fun, but they're just things that happen, and we can acknowledge them. And fortunately, there are many, many ways out there to mitigate them and to improve them. But I'd like to turn the narrative on that a little bit. And I believe that menopause truly is a gift, because as women, the hormones that have been a part of our reproductive life for so long are there for a purpose, and they make us nurturers, and they make us put our children and our families and other people constantly ahead of our own needs. And it serves a purpose, because we're raising children. We need to focus on their needs first. But when all of that is said and done, and those hormones go away, guess what? We are no longer beholden to them. We are able to go, okay, for the first time ever, I don't have to put everyone else's needs first. I can put my own needs first. And not only can I, but it feels great. And it's not selfish. Yeah. And it's not a negative thing. It's a positive thing. I mean, look, I'm always going to be a mother, but my children are grown. My role as a mother is to teach them how to live in the world the best possible way without me. I'm not going to be here forever. They've got to, you know, go out and spread their wings and live their own lives. And I think that that's what I've done to this point. And now I can say, guess what? I've done a good job. Little pat on the back there. Now, what do I want to do? Now it's my turn. And there's nothing selfish about that. It's empowering. And you know what? We're also setting examples for our children. I hope that in me showing that I still have an incredible curiosity about life, that I still want to have new experiences and learn new things and put myself out there and risk failure and risk, you know, being uncomfortable, all that, that I am leaving a legacy for my daughter, so that when she's my age, she can look back and go, oh yeah, well, my mom did this. This is the example she set for me. She's not going to get it now. She doesn't have the experience to get it now. But hopefully when she's my age, she'll have a better experience at my age and beyond because of the example that I set for her. That's my hope.
I mean, I think society's changed so much. If you think about the show Golden Girls, they were all in the 60s, living in Florida, living in a retirement community. Right. And then there's people like yourself that are like lifting heavy weights and traveling all over the world and, like, you know, having this like worldwide adventure. And I mean, you can't even compare how far we've come as a society and as women to that was in the 80s. I mean, that was 40 years ago. And I see
people. Yeah, and you know, especially in doing what I'm doing, I've noticed that it can be a challenge at times because media has not caught up to that. I mean, they are still seeing women my age through that golden girl lens. There, you know, fortunately, there has been space made in the media for older people, but it's actually easier to get work if your hair is gray. And, you know, you look your age. If you don't look your age, it's a little bit harder because they don't know where to put you. Mm-hmm. But women, especially my age, are responsible for most of the discretionary spending in a household. Mm-hmm. And we are not only concerned about, you know, incontinence pads and, you know, diabetes medication and, you know, you name it, the typical geriatric things that we're told we need to be concerned about. No, we're concerned with enjoying life, with traveling, with, gosh, you know, going to rock concerts still, to, you know, I want to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. I mean, I have a whole life ahead of me of things that I want to do and accomplish, and they have nothing to do with what you would think about geriatric concerns would be. And I just wish that hopefully, I think we're on the way. I mean, I think I'm thinking about like Sports Illustrated Swim. You know, they've done a great job of giving, particularly celebrities, though, you know, older women, the opportunity to feel beautiful and be in a swimsuit and be featured. And I think that's great and that's important. But mainstream media doesn't really do that. They don't know where to put me.
Well, about like J-Lo and Jennifer Aniston and Gwen Stefani, they're all in their 50s. And I feel
absolutely
showing through media and society that women,
they are,
can be absolutely in their prime and gorgeous.
And I think it's so great to see. I think it's amazing and wonderful to see. However, they came to their place of fame and recognition before they were in their 50s. They aren't breaking into it post 50. It's a different ball game.
Yeah,
you know, once you're a celebrity, there's a certain amount of that you can, you know, you can ride for a while.
Right.
But when it comes to just, you know, hoofing it and going to, you know, casting calls or, you know, auditions or things like that, you know, starting at 50, it's a whole different ball game. But you know, it's that's part of the fun. It's part of the challenge. So I'm here for it.
I think it's absolutely great. So you have a great sense of humor. You have Southern charm. How do you use that to stand out online? I feel like they're your secret weapons, your sense of humor and your Southern charm. Like how can someone really find like what makes them unique and special and bring that to their brand or online presence?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. I don't really consider them weapons. Maybe they're assets. I mean,
assets would be a more feminine way to say it.
Yeah, no, but using them, I don't know that I've really thought about it in those terms. I just am comfortable in who I am. I can't be anybody else. So really, it would be futile to try to be anyone else. And I've accepted that. And I think that's the key is really tuning into who you are, knowing who you are, knowing what your unique life experiences can bring to the table and being comfortable in that and owning that space instead of trying to emulate anyone else or be anyone else. I mean, we can't do it, right? And at this age, time is limited. You know, we're not getting any younger. So if we can't be comfortable in who we are now, then when?
Exactly. So why do you think women are sexier after age 50?
Well, I'll go back to the menopause thing. When you have the freedom of putting your needs first, I think it brings a certain something else to it. Plus we have a certain amount of wisdom and experience that I think shows through. I think when you're in your 20s and even in your 30s, you're still trying to figure life out and you don't really know necessarily who you are or where life is taking you. I will say something. I actually listened to your last podcast with Susan Bratton, mm-hmm. who she is definitely an expert. And I love her. I followed her for a very long time.
Yes.
And I love the expertise and the empowerment and the open conversation that she is bringing to women, especially my age, around sex in the bedroom. And I think that's been a taboo subject for so long. Mm-hmm. But I think women over 50 have been told that we shouldn't be sexy, right? Because we're not in that reproductive phase of our lives. It's not useful anymore. So therefore, why should we be?
Right.
That's ridiculous. Who tells men that? You know, I mean, this is just a story that we've all told each other. And interestingly, I think that the demographic that has the hardest time with that concept is women over 50.
Wow.
I think men don't have any trouble seeing women over 50 as sexy. I assure you. But women struggle with it. And I think women judge other women, because if you're not in a place where you feel confident, where you've explored your uniqueness and your creativity and your needs and all of those things, seeing someone else do it is discomforting. It really shines a mirror and a light to something that you have avoided looking at. And that's uncomfortable for a lot of women. So I found that in my experience, women have been at once the most supportive of the things that I've been doing and the most critical.
That is really interesting. And to your point, and then we're almost wrapped up with the show, we're out of time, but women were considered sexy because their sexuality would cause men to want them, and then they would have children and reproduce. But now women are sexy because they're stepping into their power. And like you said, they're confident, they're comfortable, they're creative, they have wisdom. It's a different kind of sexy than just being sexy to reproduce and have a baby. And
exactly.
It's truly...
And it's a dangerous thing in many people's opinion.
Why is it dangerous?
Because when we're stepping into our power, we're not accepting the narrative that we've been taught to accept. And so that is the foundation for a lot of change that maybe people don't want to see coming when they're benefiting from the existing narrative. And Susan said something else on your podcast. She said that great sex gives you, amongst other things, creativity. I'd like to offer that creativity gives you great sex.
Ooh.
Because Eros is born in the imagination first. It's born in the mind. It's not in the body. And I think we get so stuck in this idea that if we don't look a certain way, if we don't meet a certain standard of beauty or attractiveness, that we aren't allowed to feel sexy. We're not allowed to feel beautiful even. But if you focus on your mind and your creativity, if you remain curious, if you're constantly feeding your mind, your spirit, your soul, you don't have to try to be sexy, and you certainly don't have to meet any standard of beauty to be sexy, because you're bringing something to the table. You have ideas to discuss. You have enthusiasm about those ideas. You're interested in what other people have to say. You're not looking over their shoulder for the person who's going to give you more status to talk to in the room. These no longer are your concerns, because your status is within yourself. It's within what you believe and what you bring. So the more we can use those lack of nurturing hormones for others to give space to ourselves, to nurture our ideas, our curiosity, our vitality, our creativity, the better people we're going to be, the sexier we're going to be, and the better sex we're going to have.
I love that. And thank you for listening to the show and listening to the episode before this. So if you're listening to this or watching it on YouTube, make sure you go back and watch the Susan Bratton episode. She's a best-selling author of 40 books on sexuality. And she had a really incredible interview with me last week. And that is what Anne was referring to. Thank you for listening and for continuing the conversation for our listeners. And I do think that great sex starts in the mind. especially for women over 50. And it's so empowering what you just said. It does, you don't have to look a certain way to feel sexy. It's about, you know, who you're being, not how you're looking, and you're being enough. So if you're on the audience or listening or watching on YouTube or watching on the live stream, you are enough. And I think being sexy is just accepting and loving yourself for being exactly where you're supposed to be on your journey. And you don't have to lose or gain 5 pounds or get any kind of plastic surgery or do anything different. You can just decide that you're enough. And that confidence is very sexy. Wouldn't you agree?
If you want to, by the way, if you want to do interventions, if you want to have surgery, if you want whatever it is you want to do, that's your choice, right? I mean, at this age, we should be doing our life the way makes us feel good. And we want to look good when we, you know, when we look in the mirror, whatever that means, whatever that is. There's no one right way to age.
Saying, like, you can get procedures done, and if that will make you feel more confident, go for it. I'm not anti-plastic surgery at all, but just saying right here, right now, in this moment, you can schedule that procedure, but you are enough. Like right here, right now.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And we have so much to learn from each other. We do. I've learned so much from you today.
Oh, you're so sweet. Well, I know people are going to want to follow you online because you're an influencer putting out such beautiful content.
I'm a sharer, Rebecca.
Oh, yes. You're a sharer. And where can people find you online? And how can people stay in touch with you? Because they're going to want to continue following your journey.
Yeah, sure. On Instagram, my handle is @Angela_Miller_Kumar. Facebook is Angela Miller Kumar, the same on TikTok. And I'm most proud when it comes to social media that I am in the top 99% of influencers when it comes to engagement. And that's what I'm here for. I'm here for connection. So my DMs are always open. If you've got questions about today's interview and the things that we've talked about, you want to discuss it further, shoot me a DM. I'm always open to talking and conversation. And that's what means the most to me, honestly. And that's what I'm the most proud of.
Beautiful. And I would love to hear your feedback if you're listening on Instagram or Facebook or LinkedIn. So comment on the live stream. What was your biggest takeaway? If you have any questions for me or Angela, we'd love your feedback. Feel free to take a screenshot of you listening to the show and tag us in your stories. We'll reshare it. Thank you, everyone, for going on this journey with me that you can live your life in alignment. You do not have to become exhausted and burn out to feel successful in life. You can be balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
So excited to share a review from Melissa Myers, the Glow Girl. She says, inspiring podcast. Rebecca has a gift for creating meaningful, empowering conversations that leave you feeling inspired and uplifted. Balanced, beautiful, abundant is like sitting down with a wise, soulful friend who truly wants you to thrive in every area of your life. I love how she blends practical advice with spiritual insights. I'm so grateful I found it. Well, Melissa, we're so grateful that you found us, and we can't wait to find out how you are glowing and growing by using this podcast as a tool. And everybody who's listening and sharing, thank you so much for your support. And it's such a joy to be on this journey with you.